Good morning, or afternoon, or evening, whatever time you're listening in. This is our midweek podcast for the 5th of August. Today we're going to look at some verses from Lamentations, which is a little book of poetry that comes between Jeremiah and Ezekiel. As you can guess from the name, it's not in itself a happy book, but when we see it in the context of the overall Bible story, it can bring real encouragement to us today. The setting is Jerusalem after its fall to the Babylonian Empire, when the vast majority of the people had been taken away into exile. The opening words of the book set the tone for much of what follows with this lament. How deserted lies the city, once so full of people. The city is personified as being like a widow. And in the verses we are going to read, listen out for Jerusalem speaking of herself in the first person. But first, let's pray. Lamentations 3:25 says, "The Lord is good to those whose hope is in him, to the one who seeks him." So, Father, may we see your goodness now as we put our hope in you now and seek you in your word. For Jesus' sake, amen. Reading then from Lamentations chapter 1 and verse 8. Jerusalem has sinned greatly, and so has become unclean. All who honoured her despise her, for they have seen her nakedness. She herself groans and turns away. Her filthiness clung to her skirts. She did not consider her future. Her fall was astounding. There was none to comfort her. Look, O Lord, on my affliction, for the enemy has triumphed. The enemy laid hands on all her treasures. She saw pagan nations enter her sanctuary, those you had forbidden to enter your assembly. All her people groan as they search for bread. They barter their treasures for food to keep themselves alive. Look, Lord, and consider, for I am despised. Is it nothing to you, or you who pass by? Look around and see. Is any suffering like my suffering that was inflicted on me, that the Lord brought on me in the day of his fierce anger? From on high he sent fire, sent it down into my bones. He spread a net for my feet and turned me back. He made me desolate, faint all the day long. My sins have been bound into a yoke. By his hands they were woven together. They have come upon my neck. And the Lord has sapped my strength. He has handed me over to those I cannot withstand. It's a bleak picture, isn't it? This once great city reduced to destitution. The few poor people left in the city scrabbling around for something to eat. Things they may have treasured in the past are only as valuable as the survival rations they can be exchanged for. We got a bit of an insight into the feel of a deserted city when those pictures from Wuhan were beamed into our homes in January. Then it was Milan. Then it was Reading and Wokingham. Venture out and you got a sense of the eeriness and the unnaturalness of it all. But of course these cities were not deserted. We were just keeping our heads down from the virus. We might have had to barter with a neighbour for some flour. But we weren't having to sell treasured possessions to afford black market prices for meagre rations. In verse 8, the writer of this lament begins to unpack the cause of this catastrophe that has struck the city. Jerusalem has sinned greatly, he says. Her filthiness has been exposed. What is this great sin? The prophets have consistently pointed out the underlying problem of idolatry, going after other gods, seeking their security through alliances with other regional powers rather than the Lord, sometimes honouring the Lord with their lips, but not in their hearts. Often this idolatry is portrayed by the prophets in sexual terms, as lusting after these other gods and powers and prostituting themselves with them. It's a very strong yet an appropriate and powerful image because it exposes the shocking unfaithfulness of the nation to the Lord who had chosen them and set his love on them and provided for them in every way. The tragedy is that Jerusalem did not heed the warnings. Verse 9. Her filthiness clung to her skirts. She did not consider her future. Time and again the prophets had warned that exile would come, but complacency ruled. Even when things were bad, they only wanted to listen to prophets who predicted good times ahead. Complacency is a very real danger for us too. It's a danger with the coronavirus, though I think most of us are well aware that we're not done with it yet. But it's also a greater danger, with the virus of idolatry, that as we allow other things to creep into the place that the Lord should have in our lives, we could be overwhelmed by its grip on us and give up our hope in the Lord. I wonder, is our faith in science or even the politicians rather than in the Lord who calls the shots in both science and political power? Well, there were signs in these verses that Jerusalem had finally woken up to the danger she was in and was turning back to the Lord. In verse 8, she groans and turns away, shocked at the horror of her own nakedness and filth. At the end of verses 9 and 11, she calls on the Lord to look at her sorry predicament. But as we hear the heart-rending voice of Jerusalem in verses 12 to 14, don't we also hear echoes of the voice of Jesus, or at least echoes of the experience of Jesus? Is it nothing to you, or you who pass by? Look around and see. Is any suffering like my suffering that was inflicted on me, that the Lord brought on me in the day of his fierce anger? Of course, Jesus would never have adopted a self-pitying tone like that. But as we think of our Lord hanging on the cross, don't we want to challenge those who metaphorically walk past unmoved and say, is it nothing to you what Jesus went through? Don't you care? Nobody has suffered like he did. And it wasn't as if he deserved such punishment. It was inflicted on him by God. He was bearing God's righteous anger against my sin and yours. How can you just dismiss it as a bit of history? It was like fire in his bones, verse 13. He was trapped, abandoned, and desperately thirsty. Verse 14 says, my sins have been bound into a yoke. By his hands they were woven together. They have come upon my neck, and the Lord has sapped my strength. No, it wasn't Jesus' sins that were bound into a yoke. It was my sin that he bore, that he took upon himself as his own sin. My sins were woven together by the Lord into this yoke that he placed on Jesus. Jesus' body was broken by my sin. The Lord handed him over to be crucified for me. What a saviour we have. These words of desperate lament are not God's final judgment on his rebellious people. There is no place for complacency in the light of our idolatrous sin, but there is a great place for hope in the one who exchanged yokes with us. He took our woven yoke of sin, that we might receive his yoke of rest. Jesus said, take my yoke upon you and learn from me, for I am gentle and humble in heart, and you will find rest for your souls. Isn't that just the rest we need? Let's pray. Father, thank you that Jesus has worn the yoke of our sin, that it was his strength that was sapped, that he was handed over to die, so that we might be spared your just judgment and find rest for our souls in Jesus. Have mercy on us when we leave that place of rest and seek security in other places, in other things, in other people. When we do so, remind us of where our true security is found. And in your mercy, bring us back to the cross. Bring us back to Jesus. We pray for those around us who, even in the midst of this pandemic, think nothing of what Jesus has done. We pray for those who are dear to us. We pray for those who are just casual acquaintances, We pray for those who are unknown to us. We pray that in your mercy, you will bring them to understand why Jesus suffered so, to repent, and to put their hope in Jesus. And Father, we want to offer ourselves to be used in drawing others to the Lord Jesus, our precious Saviour, in whose name we pray. Amen. Amen. Well, thanks for listening again, and I hope to see many of you on Sunday morning or evening.